Radio Molossia.
News break. This month's news in the Republic of Molossia.
Return to the Odeon Hall. 24 February 2024. On Saturday, 24 February 2024, the President and First Lady returned to the historic Odeon Hall in Dayton, Nevada. The first couple spoke at the Odeon Hall in July 2023 and were brought back by popular demand to speak again. The purpose was to talk about all of our great nation, spreading the word about Molossia to yet another audience. The Odeon Hall is a historic saloon and dance hall that was built in 1863 and has hosted such celebrities as Mark Twain and Adolf Sutro among its patrons and speakers. Recently remodeled and reopened, the Odeon hosts talks and presentation, among them our president. For over an hour, His Excellency and the First Lady spoke about Molossia before a crowd of rapt listeners, showing pictures of our nation and answering questions. The audience was very appreciative and applauded frequently, enjoying the idea of self-declared nation right down the road. In addition, Molossia's signature drink, the Molossolini, was added last year to the Odeon Saloon menu and has since proven to be quite popular. Subsequent to the Odeon talk, the first couple rode on a railroad speeder across the street from the hall, proclaimed in 2018 to be the official speeder of the Republic of Molossia. It was wonderful to be able to share the stories, culture, and mere existence of Molossia, and we look forward to the future opportunities to do so. In other news, Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead. Molossia's time capsule, 29 February 2024. Starting 12 years ago, every 4 years, the government of the Republic of Molossia has buried a time capsule in Red Square. The Molossian time capsule is our emissary to the future, a messenger from then to now. Last deposited in front of the President's office on Leap Day, 29 February 2020, it was dug up today, Leap Day, 29 February 2024. 4 years later, before a crowd of Molossians, the capsule from the past was opened, and inside were found photographs, letters to the future from Molossian citizens, a National Enquirer magazine, and a miscellaneous knickknacks from the Molossian family. After examining the mementos from 4 years past, the time capsule was filled with new round of notes and keepsakes and returned to the soil from which it was so recently emerged. For the next 4 years, our time capsule will again sit undisturbed beneath Red Square, only to be opened with great fanfare by the future us. Who knows what that future will bring and how we will look back upon the present when the capsule is opened. Here's to the future of Molossia and the celebration of our present.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
I bet you never heard old Marshall Dillon say, Miss Kitty, have you ever thought of running away? Settling down, would you marry me? If I ask you twice and beg you pretty please, she'd have said yes in a New York minute. They never tied a knot, his heart wasn't in it. He just stole a kiss as he rode away. He never hung his hat up at Kitty's place. I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six-shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive. Stealing a young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy, singing those campfire songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy. Sidekick with a funny name, running wild through the hills, chasing Jesse James, ending up on the brink of danger, riding shotgun for the Texas Rangers. Go West, young man, haven't you been told? California's full of whiskey, women and gold, sleeping out all night beneath the desert stars, with a dream in my eye and a prayer in my heart. I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six-shooter, riding my pony on a cattle drive. Stealing a young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy, singing those campfire songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy. Should have been a cowboy. I should. I should have been a cowboy. Yeah, I should have been a cowboy. I should have been a cowboy.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Strange Adventure.
Tom Framson and the other pilots of the Independent Airline sat in the ready room of the airport and cursed the storm that was disrupting their schedules and might keep them grounded for some time. Outside, the wind-driven snow swirled across the landing strip and piled up against the buildings. Automobile headlights speared the stormy darkness and swung across the frosted windows of the room. Then Tommy opened the door and a slender man entered, followed by a gust of chill wind. He set a small black instrument bag on the floor and hurried over to the heater.
You boys are the only ones that can help me. I've got to get to Oakdale right away. Emergency operation. Oh, pardon me. I'm Dr. Richard Cartwright.
Tex Darby shook his head in wonder.
Gosh, Doc, you sure don't expect to fly there in this storm. All the planes are grounded.
All the big ones, yes, I know. But I thought perhaps in this emergency I could charter a small plane.
Well, can't some other surgeon perform the operation?
There's a little boy, a farmer's son, dying of a strange and little-known malady. I'm the only doctor nearer than Chicago who can perform the operation that might save his life. Won't one of you consider flying me there?
Young Tommy began to don his flying clothes hurriedly.
Tex, lend the doc your togs. He'd freeze in that outfit.
A few minutes later, a small cabin plane was battling the storm as it raced along the invisible highway. Blasts of wind buffeted the light plane, tossing it about like a leaf, throwing it into stalls and spins that were hard to get out of. Tommy noticed the nervousness of his passenger.
Don't worry, Doc. We'll get there all right. Tell you what, as soon as we get out of the worst of the storm, I'll teach you to fly by instruments like I'm doing.
The storm did seem to abate somewhat, and the doctor took over the controls as Tommy explained the various instruments to him.
We'll be there in a few minutes. I'll check our position on the map.
Tommy was unrolling the map when it slipped from his knees. He was bending over to retrieve it when a sudden air current snatched at the plane, throwing his head forward against the instrument panel. Tommy reeled back in his seat, stunned, fighting desperately against unconsciousness as he felt the ship go into a spin. Tommy kept his swollen and bleeding face turned away from the doctor and tried to give his instructions in a calm voice. He felt the ship ease to an even keel as his new co-pilot followed his orders. He checked the course and altitude frequently and listened for the beam that would indicate the approach to the Oakdale field. At last he heard it, a loud, steady hum.
Doc, you're doing such a good job of blind flying, I'm going to let you make the landing. Just keep as calm as you'll be at that operating table and do just exactly what I tell you.
3 minutes later, the wheels touched the ground and the plane rolled across the field. Tommy reached forward and cut off the ignition. The doctor was already on the ground when Tommy climbed out of the plane.
Well, son, we made it. Now to get a cab to the hospital for another tough battle to save a boy's life. Say, you'll win that one too, Doc. Oh, say, you'll have to help me over to the office. I'm afraid that blow on the head a while ago got my eyes. I haven't been able to see a doggone thing since.
This is Pat McGeehan in Hollywood, California, saying goodbye for my writer, Charles Crowder, and inviting you to listen to Jungle Strategy, our next tale of
Strange Adventure.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable. And unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac can kiss my ass. Woo!
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party.
Now I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack. Cause when beer runs down in front of my back, well that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie, when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party, let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup.
What?
I lift you up. Proceed to party, proceed to party.
Now I've seen you in blue and I've seen you in yellow, but only you, Red, will do for this fella. Cause you are the Abbott into my Costello, and you are the fruit to my loom.
Here we go now.
Red Solo Cup, you're more than just plastic. You're more than amazing, you're more than fantastic. And believe me that I'm not the least bit sarcastic when I look at you and say, Red Solo Cup, you're not just a cup.
No.
You're my friend.
Friend, lifelong.
Thank you for being my friend.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party, let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party.
Listening to Radio Molossia.
Truth is stranger than fiction. This is the truth. This is Ripley. Believe it or not.
If you think you spend a lot of time at your hairdresser's, consider a Lungo chief in Tanganyika, East Africa. His badge of office is a hairdo that requires 5 years to complete. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the woman who saw her husband die twice.
All aboard! Ride the Molossia Railroad with daily trips to Steinsdorf and Silver Hill.
Julia Gardner Tyler, wife of former President John Tyler, in a dream on the night of January 16, 1862, saw her husband walking toward her with his collar and tie in his hands as he cried out, "I'm dying, Julia." The dream prompted her to hurry to her husband, who was in Richmond, Virginia. She found him in perfect health. But the very next morning, Tyler came to his wife's room with his collar and tie in his hands and cried out, "I'm dying, Julia." He died shortly after midnight. Believe it or not.
Hi, Curly. Kill anyone today?
Day ain't over yet.
She said, "I seen you in here before." I said, "I've been here a time or two." She said, "Hello, my name is Bobby Joe. Meet my twin sister, Betty Lou. And we're both feeling kind of wild tonight. You're the only cowboy in this place. And if you're up for a rodeo, I'll put a big Texas smile on your face." I said, "Girls, I ain't as good as I once was. I got a few years on me now. But there was a time
back in my prime, when I could really lay it down. And if you need some love tonight, then I might have just enough. I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. I still hang out with my best friend Dave. I've known him since we were kids at school. Last night he had a few shots, got in a tight spot, hustling a game of pool with a couple of redneck boys, one great big fat biker man. I heard David yell across the room, "Hey buddy, how about a helping hand?" I said, "Dave, I ain't as good as I once was. My, how the years have flown. But there was a time, back in my prime, when I could really hold my own. If you wanna fight tonight, guess those boys don't look all that tough. I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. I used to be hell on wheels back when I was a younger man. Now my body says that you can't do this, boy, but my pride says, oh yes, you can. I ain't as good as I once was. That's just the cold, hard truth. I still throw a few back, talk a little smack when I'm feeling bulletproof. So don't double dog dare me now, 'cause I'd have to call your bluff. I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. May not be good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Radio Molossia.